Well, good morning. I know it's a little hot this morning. We do have some fans in the back if you need to fan yourself off. We a little bit of a motivation is that after the service is over, in the fellowship hall, there's air conditioning. Okay, so you get to cool off right away at the end of the service. So have that to look forward to. And thank you for Dave and whoever sets up all our fans, helps us out there. We appreciate that. In fact, give him a big hand for doing that, because that's one of those little servant tasks that no one ever notices or realizes that somebody actually does that. So I know this is going to be a special service today because Jim Fulmer is sitting in the front row. First time in 10 years. So so I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us today. We've been going through this series on stewardship, a way of life, which is just about all that God gives us. And we've covered significant topics like money, time, intellect, emotions, even priorities, that God gives us His will, His priorities for our life ambitions, our life direction. And this morning we're going to be covering, I think, one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is our relationships. How many of you have relationships? In fact, before the service, I was out in the fellowship hall, and Wayne said, Mike, what are you preaching on today? And I said, relationships. He's sitting next to Jim Fulmer, and he's like, well, I already got one. I got a relationship right here. So, and that's a prerequisite for this morning. You have to have relationships before we talk about stewardship of relationships, and you all do. Especially if you're sitting right here today, you've got all of us, at the very least, as relationships. So, one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. And yet, some view relationships differently, don't they? I mean, some view relationships as a very precious thing in their life. And for others, maybe it's not quite as high a priority. We all have different personalities. Some are extroverts. Some are introverts. Some of us are people-oriented. Some of us are project-oriented. We all have these different aspects of our personality, our life, that affects how we think about relationships, how we interact with relationships. I was glad that I was scheduled for this topic because for my entire Christian adult life, it's been something the Lord has talked to me about over the decades. And even this last year, I've been making attempts to be taking steps to be more relationally focused, and that the Lord shown me in different ways, that the Holy Spirit's been nudging me. And this past spring, we were asked by our association to consider reading this book, Emotionally Healthy Leader, by this guy who's a pastor in Queens, New York. And he said, in Queens, it's like a war zone. He said, my parishioners robbed me, you know. And so he needed emotional health, and he sought the Lord for that and wrote a lot of good books on it. And it's been encouraging. I haven't read all of it. I'm working my way through, but I want to continue working my way through. And the first chapter in there had a little survey to evaluate your emotional health. And it was on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the least, 5 being the greatest. And so I took the survey, about 30 questions to evaluate your emotional health. It covered all areas of your life. And I rated myself, and then I thought, this would be interesting to see how Barbara rates me. You know, and so I gave her the survey without showing her my answers. And I said, here, let's see how you score me on a scale 1 to 5 in all these questions, and then we'll compare notes. And so she did the survey about me, and we were on vacation, so I figured, you know, it was a good atmosphere. I'd get, you know, just from that atmosphere, I'd get a little pumped up. And she wrote it all out, the 1 to 5, and we were mostly aligned. By the way, don't try this experiment at home, kids. This is a dangerous experiment. Be ready for it. So, but on this one question, you know, there were several questions on relationships, but one question in particular that I've kind of been working on, I thought, and I said, I know I'm kind of weak in this, but I think I'm a 3. You know, so I had written a 3, that I was a 3 in this area. And then I got back Barbara's answers, and she gave me a 1. And I was like, 1? Come on, 1? Can't we at least throw me something? How about a 2? How about a 2? Can you change your answers, you know? But it made me think, you know, boy, this is definitely a weakness in my life. This is something I need to seek the Lord about. And see, I'm more project-oriented, more task-oriented by nature. You know, I love getting stuff done. You know, that's what gives me joy, is getting stuff done. And I know it's sick, but it's the way it's the way just that I'm made. And it's not always best, though, for getting things done the way God wants you to get them done, or the what God has for you to get done. It's not always best. That's the weakness of that area. And because the way God has for us is most always revolves around people. Most always revolves around people, not things or tasks or work. And so we're all different in how strong we are in relationships, aren't we? And how we view relationships, we're all different. But God has a consistent message about relationships for all of our lives, a baseline of truth that God has for every believer, and he wants us to live in that and build upon that. And so that's why we're going to be looking at that so closely this morning. So let's pray as we look at this today. Father, we do want to be stewards of the relationships that you give us, and yet some of us are so weak in it. And I know those that are so strong in it wonder what's wrong with the rest of us, but Lord, we need to seek you, because where we're weak, in you we're strong. You're the one that can give us grace and equip us to do your will. Lord, we can't love without you. Your love, we can't love without you the way you love, Lord. And teach our hearts to love, to have your heart towards people, to love the way you love, Lord, in our lives. That's what we would be known for, as a lover of people, as a lover of God, Lord. And we can lift up this morning to you for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. The first reason we are to be stewards of our relationship is because we were made for relationships. We are made for relationship. We were made in God's image. And this is just a little theological background. In Genesis, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So he created us in his image, and he's relational. How do we know he's relational? Well, first of all, because he created us. I know that's kind of cyclical reasoning. But also, we know throughout his word that his character, we know about his character in Scripture. We know about the way he thinks towards people all throughout Scripture. And the verse that popped to mind this week was an old verse that I used to sing, Isaiah 30:18, that says, "Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you." That's God's heart. He's relational at heart. He longs to be gracious to you. He longs to have compassion on you. That's what the Lord feels towards you. He's relationally oriented. And because he's relationally oriented, we're created in his image, we are relational. And then he created others for us to be relational with, right? The Lord said it's not good for a man to be alone. It's not good to not be in relationship. And so he said, "I will make a helper suitable for him." And he made Eve, and then the two of them got married. That's why a man leaves his father and mother. That's why, because it's not good for people to be alone or isolated. That's why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. He designed marriage to be a living example of this relational unity, of relationship lived out in unity. And we know from Ephesians that God designed the church to have the same relational oneness within the church, in the church's relationship with God as well, especially. And Paul said, after Paul talked about marriage, we all know some of these famous verses, whoops. Paul said, "This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church." And you're like, "Well, wait, you just talked about marriage. And now you're saying you're talking about Christ and the church," because marriage isn't, we always say this at every wedding, marriage is a reflection of the unity and relationship that God desires for his church to Jesus as the head of the church. We're the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom. We're in a united personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus always talked about this relational aspect between he and his disciples, didn't he? He always said, "Abide in me as a branch abides in the vine." It's all about being relationally connected and following him. It's his aim. He even prayed this for his disciples in John 17. He said, "Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. It's all relational in our connection to each other and our connection to Jesus, our connection to God, the Father. And we relationally need each other too. All those verses in the New Testament talk about encourage one another, care about each other, be patient with one another, love one another. In the church, we're to be relationally connected and caring for each other, nurturing each other. That's what church is for. As human beings, we're not designed to live in isolation. That's a lie from the devil. If you feel like, oh, you've been hurt too much and I just want to get away from people, that's a lie from Satan. God has designed you to be in relationship, healthy relationship, but in relationship with other people. You're made that way because God is relational. So we are made for relationships. The second reason we're to be stewards of our relationships is because God has given us relationships. They're gifts from the Lord. Now, I want to take a little exercise. If you want to take just a moment right now, you don't have to write this down. You can if you want, but just think about it in your head. What is one family member or friend of yours, one relationship that you have that has been a real gift to you? If you think about that relationship, you think, that's been a real gift to me, to my life. So think about that. I'm sure you have many, but just think about one. All right, so just consider that. I'll give you a moment. What relationships do you have that were real gifts to your life? All right, now not in long, we don't need the whole, you know, life story, but or whatever, of your relationship. But just give me in a short statement, a few of you, just tell me, a few of us, just tell us, how has this friend or family member been a gift to your life? Raise your hand if you'd like to share. Jim. Amen. I don't know if you guys heard that. Our men's small group, he said, has been a real gift by encouraging each other. How about some other examples? What relationship has been a real gift? Jim. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. Aw, kiss. Playing your glasses, everybody. Anybody else want to share? What's been a... Darlita. Amy has been a real gift to your life. Amen. How about one more? Anybody got one more they want to share? Amen. All right, Barbara. Amen. So mother. So there you go. That's a wide array of relationships that we have in our life that are gifts to us. Our relationships are gifts from the Lord. And so there's actually some verses that specifically mention that, and we'll just run through it. Jesus, first of all, right? I mean, how can we forget John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his one and only Son. Jesus is a gift to all of us. That whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Your wife, if you're married, husbands, your wife is a gift. There's several verses in your bulletin, more here than are here. But he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord, just as Jim said. A prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. So it's interesting, there's no direct verses saying that husbands are gifts to the wife, but I'm just commenting on that. I'm not giving any commentary on that. But there's plenty that talk about the wife being a gift to the husband. But there are benefits, wives, to husbands. You know, your husband does bring benefits to your life. And so there are plenty of verses about how the husband helps the wife. You know, in Ephesians 5, talking about how the husband is called to love his wife like Jesus loves the church, right? And so there are benefits to your life. For those of you that are parents, your kids are a gift from the Lord. You know, Chris Biang used to, when we were first married and struggling with, wow, would we be good parents? You know, he was saying, hey, children are a gift from the Lord. He shared this verse with me, Psalm 127. Children are a heritage from whom? From the Lord. That's where your children came from. Offspring, a reward from whom? From him, from the Lord. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So your kids are a gift to you, parents. Likewise, teens, there aren't a lot of verses that talk about how your parents are a gift to you. But, you know, there is talks about the benefits to your life, about one of the commandments, right? If you honor your father and your mother, it'll go well for you in your life. So there are benefits to the parents in your life. And here's a good fringe benefit in Proverbs. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents. So kids, you have that to look forward to. You're going to, you know, multiple houses and wealth are yours from your parents. So write that down on your mirror or whatever. You know, memorize that verse. That's your verse. There's lots of other relational verses in the Bible. Friendships, your friendships. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We need our friendships to sharpen each other, to help each other, and to encourage each other. You know, a rope that's just one little strand, it's going to break, but you have your friends coming beside you and helping support you, you're going to be able to get through a lot more. The rope's going to be a lot stronger. And your church. One verse in Hebrews just talks about how we're called to encourage each other until the end times draw near, until the day draws near. And you need your churches to encourage each other. And so these are gifts to your life, and you guys gave illustrations of that as well. I flew up to the pastor's conference a couple weeks ago, a day early, so I could meet with one of my first cousins who lived up there. And so I went out to dinner with him and his wife, and he showed me around his work. He showed me around St. Paul and where he works downtown and the historic district and all the cool history and some of the nice home neighborhoods around there. And I just told him, you know, you're one of the only first cousins I was thinking that want to have a relationship with me, but I didn't say it that way. So I said, you're one of my only first cousins that I have a relationship with. But the reality is he's only one of the only ones that really cares, that wants to have a relationship. And I said, I appreciate just spending time with you. And so we had a great time together, and that's relationships are a gift. I think of him as a gift in my life to have him up there in St. Paul, and he wants us to come back and do some family history research, invited us to stay at his home and everything, and so we look forward to that at some point. God has given us so much, our money, our time, our talents, so many things, but the main thing that he's given us that's key, that affects our life so greatly is relationships. And the challenge is this: do we view our relationships as a gift from the Lord? Do we view our relationships as a gift from the Lord? It will change our mindset as stewards of our relationships if we do. We are given our relationships. Third reason we're to be stewards of our relationships is that we are called to relationship. We're called to that. We're called to live a life of relationship. This is, we've gone over this in this series a little bit, but Matthew, the greatest commandments. In Matthew, teacher, where they asked Jesus, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And this is the crux of what we're to do in following God and following Jesus, to love the Lord and to love others. You might think, it's the most important thing in my life to be successful. You know, nope, it's the most important thing in your life to love the Lord your God. You might think it's the most important thing in my life to reach my full potential, to use the way God made me to reach my full potential. No, you know, it's the success in your life is how you love, how you love other people. Without understanding this, God's call to relationships, some people can view relationships incorrectly. And you've seen people that operate this way. One way that people operate incorrectly with relationships is they view relationships are for achieving the goal. And these are usually like work-oriented people, project-oriented, task-oriented people, workaholics. You know, these are people that they only see relationships in light of achieving the goal. And so if someone's not helping, they're distracting from the goal. And that's a relationship to be discarded because they're not helping achieve the goal, whatever that goal is in their mind. An example would be a husband that's annoyed with family demands because it's distracting from their work project that they want to get done in a certain time period or whatever. When we do that, it's an incorrect view. Relationships we view are viewing relationships are for achieving the goal. The second incorrect view is if people view relationships are for achieving my goal. This is very self-focused. So this is a person that sees relationships just for what they can get out of it. It might even be subconscious, and they might even not be realizing it, but if a relationship is helpful to them achieving their personal goals, their social status, their advancement, whatever, then great. Otherwise, if the relationship is not helpful, it's discarded. An example is friends and teens, young adults, you've probably seen this especially, teens who hang out for you without you only for social status, and a friend hangs out with you only for social status, you'll notice that that type of friend, once they're in a better situation socially, they're going to ditch you, you know, because they're using you in a sense. And they view relationships for achieving their own self-centered goals. And that's why they have relationships. There was a friend of mine, and this happens in the church too. You know, there was a friend of mine who was raising support for a particular ministry, and I supported him. But I began to notice that when I was at conferences or wherever I rubbed shoulders with him, he would say hi, but you know, I realized he wasn't really interested in a relationship. You know, because I would start talking to him, and then someone else would walk by, and he'd be like, I'll talk to you later, Mike. And because he saw a better target, he had an agenda of who he wanted to talk to and why. And so I was like, well, I thought we were friends. I thought we could just sit around and chat a little bit. But in one sense, I felt like I was being used in a sense, and it must have crippled him in his ministry effectiveness. And it's going to cripple us in our ministry effectiveness if we view relationships to achieve the goal or to achieve my goal. But oh, okay. Okay. So these are incorrect views of relationship. The correct view, obviously, is God's way, is that relationships are the goal. The relationships are the goal. And this is a person who understands this, sees relationships just for the sake of relationship. You know, they're in relationship because they're enjoying that relationship. They're enjoying that friendship. And that's what they want. They want to have a relationship. They enjoy the fellowship. A person who sees relationships this way is going to slow down and love a person and just be with the person. And serve the person, pray for them, encourage them. And this is God's way because God is love. And it's all throughout Scripture. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? So this is God's way of relationship, God's view of relationship. And relationships can be used correctly or incorrectly. And an example of this is if someone gave you a big old church safe. I'm just making a random example here. If someone gave you a big old church safe and you used it as a paperweight, well, it would work to achieve your goal, but that's not its purpose, right? That's not really the way God designed that safe to be used. You could use that big old safe as a sermon illustration over and over again, week after week, but that would be kind of an abuse of that church safe. It's not using that safe the way God intended it to be used. You know, the safe was designed for one and one thing only, and to hold treats, right? That is its purpose. We should be starting to use that to hold our treats, keep them safe. So it's about time we use it properly, and it's about time we make sure we are using our relationships properly. On a serious note, Dean's message last week, he mentioned three things that we took note of that are God's priorities for our life. God's will is for us to believe, it's for us to grow in our faith, and us to help others believe and help others grow. And all of these three things are tied to relationship, aren't they? We can't do them all without relationship. God's will to believe is tied to our relationship with God. God's will to grow in our faith is tied to our relationship with our church, because that's what the church is for. One of the purposes is to help each other grow. And God's will to help others is tied to our relationships with those that don't believe yet, those that are outside the church, not just our church, but the church universal, those that need to hear about Jesus and hear the gospel. You can't get around it. Whatever, any way you look at this, we're called to relationship. Finally, we're stewards of our relationship. All that we have belongs to God. He owns it all, and yet He gives so much of it, but He gives it as our responsibility to be stewards of it. We're responsible to steward those things that God gives us, and relationships fall in that as well. Do we view relationships as something that we are to steward in our lives? A precious commodity that we've been given. I was thinking about this. If we're bad stewards in every other area that we've been talking about in this series, if we're bad stewards with our money, bad stewards with our time, bad stewards with using our intellect, etc., all these different things, but we're good at loving people, good at stewarding and shepherding our relationships, you know, that's going to be what a successful legacy that will be. On the flip side, if we count every penny and we make every second count in the name of productivity, but we don't love, it has very little effect. We miss the boat. And I preach to myself as well on these things. We're responsible to prioritize our relationships, to be good stewards of our relationships, and to think of ourselves that way, as a steward of our relationship. You know, I was thinking about that. When we reach heaven and God says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it's not going to be about those projects that we got done, you know. It's going to be about the love that we showed, the way we made people feel, the truth that we brought to people's lives in serving the Lord and loving Him. So we need to steward these relationships. The first and foremost relationship to steward is our relationship with God, because the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And to me, that means more than a 10-minute quiet time, you know. That means more than just doing the activities of God, but it involves our relationship with God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. It means more than what we do for God. It has more to do with how we are with God, how we be with God, how we act, how we relate to God, our relationship with God. The busyness of life can get us so distracted and so isolated. The last core meeting, my summer challenge, was for all of us to consider putting on our calendar some times with an extended time away from with the Lord for an extended quiet time. And we all need it. I need it. I know my first one was Saturday morning, June 15th. And my next one that I look forward to is next Saturday, July 6th. See, for me, the only way I could make this happen is to book it on my calendar and to carve out those times. And so on June 15th, I went out to my favorite place of solitude. I'm not going to tell you where it is, because then you'd be there. And my favorite place of solitude, and I spent about 4 hours there. And the first hour, at least the first hour, all I did was decompress. You know, our mind is cluttered with so many things, and I just had to write out all the stuff that was on my mind, to-dos that I had to do, and things that the Lord's been teaching me through this book that I want to follow up on, and all these other things, and I just had to empty my brain and write it all out on paper, you know. And after about an hour, hour and a half of that, then my mind was clear, and I was more ready to receive from the Lord. And then I'm available to read Scripture and soak it in. And then for me, what I do is I go for a long walk, and I went through a long walk in solitude, not another soul around, and I ended up in this little place. Doesn't that look nice? Nice and inviting. I found this little place and spent a good little amount of time there. And a little secret place, if you will, like holy ground, you know, to spend some time with the Lord, just quiet. You know, at that point, I had already gone through all my stuff and prayed, and I was just there quiet, enjoying the Lord and seeing what else He had for me. Finally, when I felt like I was filled up, I got up and I started walking back, and church bells were ringing in the background, in the distance. I don't know, that might have been a sign of God, I don't know, but it was cool, one way or the other. And so on the way back, I was just spontaneously praising the Lord, and just a couple songs came into my mind, and I was just singing them, you know, because my mind had been decluttered, decompressed, so then I could soak in and just enjoy time with the Lord. It was time well spent, and so I encourage you to plan some times like that with the Lord this summer. It'll be a good, healthy, there's no way it's going to be time wasted. It's going to be a good, healthy time. But do it away from people, away from your phone, away from music, away from noise. You know, just a nice time of solitude and quiet before the Lord. I think it's key to us stewarding our relationship with God. The second greatest commandment of stewarding our relationship with relationships is our relationships with others, according to the second greatest commandment. That means our family, those in our church, in the church, universal, those outside the church, those that need the gospel. For me, when I spend that time in relationship with God, a lot of the things He shows me are relational initiatives to take with other people. You know, that's, for my life, that's what mostly pours out of it. And in my season of life, everybody's different, but in my season of life, those things aren't going to happen unless I'm intentional with it. Just like I need to be intentional with my relationship with God, we need to be intentional with our relationships with other people. Put things on the calendar, make to-dos. So the first thing that I did when I got back from my time with God is I said, "Hey, Barbara, let's go out for dinner tonight and have time together." I brought my notebook. We really didn't even open it up. We were talking about other stuff. But we started, you know, and over the weeks following, we're starting to talk about some of these things and be more intentional in the way we live our lives. The challenge is this: will we seek the Lord about being good stewards in our relationships and ask Him to show you the steps that we need to take? You know, don't let life and work and other people's agendas fill up your schedule and miss the key priorities in your life to be a steward of your relationship with the Lord, first and foremost, and a steward of your relationships with others as the Lord shows. Be intentional about prioritizing that time. Our time and our schedule reflect our priorities. Amen? You look at our schedule, it reflects our priorities. A lot of times they get carried away by other people's priorities. So let's not do that anymore. Let's be intentional about how we live our lives. I'd like to close this morning just with a couple promises about living God's way. He said, when we live this way, intentionally, good stewards of our relationship, He said, these are promises. John 10:10, I come that they may have life and have it to the full. God promises a full life when we walk in His way. John 15:11, I've told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. God's joy, Jesus' joy, is available to us as we obey Him and walk in His ways. A full life and joy. Let's close in prayer. Lord, help us to reassess our relationships, Lord, to realize that we were made for relationships, that we were given relationships, that we're called to relationship, that we're stewards of our relationship, Lord. Retrain our mindset, Lord, to be less about the American dream, to be less about the things that we do, to be less about the projects that we want to accomplish, Lord, but to be more about you, to be more about loving you, loving others, Lord, that love would be the key project in our life, if you will, Lord, to love others the way you loved us. Thank you that you set the bar, because you are love, God, and teach us your ways. And we lift up everyone here for that purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.